Nut, mango, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, tangerine, babadine, banana, guava, pineapple, sour, sap, and kiwi, peanut, raisin, prunes, and dates, all kind of flavors for you now to taste. Ice cream, you scream, everybody screaming, ice cream.
Hello and welcome to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Wanda Fox. And you are tuned into 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz, freakradio.org on the internet. And today's topic on Your Homegrown Food is DIY food, or do-it-yourself food. Cooking is, of course, the most straightforward form of DIY food. One do-it-yourself activity I have been enjoying is making bread. So, I'd like to start off with a poem from the Tassajara Bread Book, which I love, love, love. And I guess I should tell you the author. Edward S.B. Brown. A composite of kitchen necessities. Bringing food alive with your loving presence. To have compassion, to have respect for fresh foods, for broken bowls, for dirty napkins, and little bugs. To take care of leftovers, not saying, oh, that's all right, we have plenty, we can throw that away. Because everything is saying, love me, have compassion, hold me gently. Please hug me now, and then, we're really one, not two. But don't get attached, we're really two, not one. The bowls and knives, the table, the teapot, the leftovers, the molding vegetables, the juicy fruit. Everything is asking this of you. Make full use. Take loving care of me. The cups, the glasses, the sponges, the sticky honey jar, all asking to fulfill. Just to make deepest love all the time, concentrating not on the food, but on yourself. Making your best effort to allow things to fulfill their functions. In this way, everything is deliciously full of warmth and kindness. I never would have done this without Tassajara. I have never cooked like this way from away from Tassajara. Coming from the earth, returning to the earth, transformed and transforming the material spirit, I am consumed. If you must cook, please offer yourself a substantial piece of emptiness. Hold back nothing until you experience offering. Eat me and be nourished. Homage to the perfection of wisdom, the infinite, the holy. Everything is leading you, pushing you, instructing you, bugging you to supreme, perfect enlightenment. This means there are no mistakes. You might do it differently next time, but that's because you did it this way this time. Perfect. Even if you say too much, this, too little, that. It's you, and please be yourself. Offer yourself. Feels good, okay? Looking is not simply in the tongue, in the palate. Cooking is not simply in the tongue, in the palate. It is in the whole body, flowing out of the groin and chest, through arms and hands. So that book right there, the Tassajara Bread Book, and that author, have inspired me to make my own bread. So that's what I do at home, because it's a very cool do-it-yourself cooking food kind of a thing. And another book that I have that I like is Bread and Bread Machines. Well, it's actually the complete book of Bread and Bread Machines. So I'll read a little bit from this book, too. Making bread requires little more than a pair of hands, some time, an oven, and a few basic ingredients. Just flour and water in its simplest form. Add yeast and a sprinkling of salt to control the yeast. Mix with the flour and water to a dough, shape it, and leave to rise, and on baking it will transform into a crusty loaf, permeating the air with a mouth-wateringly delicious aroma. Many people enjoy the artistry of homemade hand-shaped loaf, as well as the satisfaction that comes from kneading the dough by hand. The ritual of kneading improving and shaping bread dough is a very personal activity, which is why even today, with the option of electric food makers, with dough hooks or food processors to do the job, many people still get great pleasure from kneading by hand. Making bread from scratch and kneading by hand is a very satisfying thing to do, but like they said, it takes a lot of time. So what I like to do is use my bread machine. It makes the process go amazingly quickly. The machine is doing a lot of the work that I would otherwise be doing in kneading and rising and so forth. Making bread in a bread machine. Few people have the time to enjoy kneading, proving, shaping, and baking bread on a daily basis. A bread machine is the perfect addition to home baking. It still allows you to create your own bread with the ingredients you wish to use, but with the minimum effort and time. The bread machine also seems to evoke interest from all members of the family, whereas bread made by hand is often only actually produced by the person who prepares the majority of the food. All the family enjoy the ease with which they can transform a few ingredients into a loaf of crusty brown bread and insist on enjoying it. I like making bread because freshly baked bread tastes so great, and I know exactly what's in my bread. I know what's in store-bought bread, too, because I can read the ingredients, but I find that the store-bought bread with the most pure ingredients does not taste as good as the bread I can make at home. And also, the majority of the bread I would say that you can buy in a regular grocery store is full of all kinds of junk that I don't particularly want to eat. So, yes, you can find bread that has few ingredients, but even then, sometimes there's some things in there that I don't really know what they are and might not want to eat. And also, like I said, you can buy some breads out there with very simple ingredients or things that you, yes, can pronounce and probably know what they are, but a lot of those breads, I don't particularly like the way they taste. I prefer my own homemade bread. Even though I do make it in a bread machine, maybe some people would consider that cheating. But I pick out all the ingredients that I want, and I can vary the ingredients depending on what I want that particular day in my loaf of bread. And I love it, and I recommend it. Everybody should try making some bread at home if you are inclined to do some do-it-yourself food kind of stuff. So another do-it-yourself food activity is, or can be, coffee. Coffee can be as simple as pouring hot water through ground beans, or as complicated as a fancy coffee drink with flavors and foam and whipped cream and on. So, here to talk about do-it-yourself coffee is the host of the Arduck Show. So, welcome. Which mic are you? Number two. Here we go.
You're number one. I'm number two.
So, the first step in the coffee process for us here in the U.S., because we can't grow coffee, is roasting. And I know you roast your own beans, so you could you tell us why you like doing this?
I do roast my own beans. I look forward to talking eventually about brewing coffee as well. There's many, many ways to do that. And I think roasting coffee is a good start, because I think I started because I don't like coffee. Like many things that I begin, I don't like it, so I try to figure out how to make myself like it, because a lot of people do.
That's true.
And it might be a little bit like bread, in that it's something, it has a lot to do with the ingredients and the preparation. And those things really improve the coffee to me. And I found that it's... It just makes for a better drink that's palatable to me. And you asked me...
Great.
You would ask me how I got started? No.
I asked why you like to roast coffee.
Oh, that's why I like to roast it, because I don't like coffee.
That's sort of a roundabout way of doing it, or answering that question. So then I guess you could maybe tell us how you roast coffee, because I don't think it's a very common thing to do. Most people don't roast their own coffee. Before I knew that it was possible to do that, I just assumed it was some kind of extremely complicated process that I probably would never do or never be able to do. I thought maybe it took some kind of huge machine in a coffee shop somewhere, or maybe in a South American country they have some magical way they turn it into the coffee I drink. So yeah, can you tell us what's involved in roasting coffee?
I can't. Yeah, that's a great point, and I always wondered that myself. And there is still a lot that happens in the countries where the coffee grows, which is a little bit out of our control and is still dependent on the importers. We'll talk about that more another time. The actual growing of coffee is its own process. But so I'm assuming at this point that I'm just getting my beans. And you can do that in a wide variety of ways. And the process really at home is not terribly complicated. It doesn't have to be. You can make it as involved and as wonderfully dynamic as you'd like. It can be as simple as using a cast iron pan over a fire. You can just do it right in the fire pit, the old cowboy coffee. In a lot of ways, that's probably what that was. It was green coffee that was roasted in a pan by the cook and then made into coffee.
Oh, wow. I always assumed cowboy coffee just meant boiling the ground up beans in water and then letting the grinds settle and pouring off the coffee. I didn't know it actually included roasting.
I believe it does.
Neat.
Because green coffee travels a lot better than the roasted coffee.
I see.
Not that the cowboys were necessarily connoisseurs, but you know, you'd hear about the guy, you know, making the chef dance if he had a bad cup of coffee. It was important. It was important for the guys on the range to get a fresh cup of Joe in the morning.
Cool.
And I think they wanted the best they could get. So what you can do at home is you can do that. You can use a cast iron pan right on your oven.
Or copper.
You can. Might be too fragile. I'm not sure. You might be able to use copper. I've never tried it. I don't hear people recommend that.
Oh, I see.
And maybe because of the high dry temperature, there's no real moisture involved. I'm not sure. I don't know why.
So copper's probably the best.
It might be.
I'm sorry. Cast iron's probably the best.
I don't do it that way, so I never dug in too far into the dry, into the oven roasting or the top fire roasting, because I find when I was reading about it, is that it seemed to have a little less control and it requires a lot of attention. You have to keep this coffee stirring.
I see.
Not the way I do it requires constant attention too, but it's not as physical, and I think it's just that kind of all I have to do is stare at it, because you can roast coffee just in an oven. Set mm-hmm. it to the temperature and go.
Oh, wow.
And then you have to shake it around every now and again. The method that I uses a popcorn popper, mm-hmm. which is very simple. You just grab certain kinds of popcorn poppers. You have to be a little careful. When you go to choose your popcorn popper, is the most general idea is when you look down into the barrel of it, if there's at the bottom, if there's a screen grate, don't use that kind, because the coffee can drop through that grate, and the bits, the little dust that comes off the coffee as you're roasting, which I'll get into later, you'll find a lot of that. That can get down into the heating elements and cause a fire.
Oh, I see.
So you have to be a little careful about choosing your home brewing roasting equipment. And pop air is an excellent choice, as a pop air 1 and 2 at the very least. And what you're looking for is just that the coffee air that's coming through is coming from the sides of mm-hmm. the barrel, and it's little vents.
Cool. So then you just throw the green beans into the air popper and watch it until it's roasted?
Pretty much. Yeah, you can throw in about a third of a cup, depending. You'll find that the amount of coffee you put in there controls how quickly it roasts and how hot it gets. It's actually inverse to what some people think, is that if you throw in 1/3 of a cup and you want it to roast faster, mm-hmm. you actually put in more coffee, not less coffee. And that's because of the insulating quality of the coffee, and it packs everything in more and it retains the heat and it causes it to roast faster.
Oh.
And if you want it to roast slower, you put in less beans. You might find that your beans are flying out of your machine if you don't have enough beans in there, because the air will actually blow it up out of the machine, and you have to put a little cover over the top.
I see.
Allows air to flow.
Maybe we should mention the green beans. How would someone go about getting some green beans if they wanted to roast their own?
There's some choices right here in town. Ironically enough, they're right next door to each other, so it's not necessarily an east side, west side, you know, downtown Aptos kind of thing. They're both pretty much downtown on River Street. One is Great Infusions, which is on a road near River Street over by the Java Junction, which does roast its own coffee. I think they get coffee from Santa Cruz Roasting Company. And then there's also the Seven Bridges Natural Brew Shop, organic brewing. They're mostly about beer and wine, but they also sell some amount of coffee roasting equipment as well as green beans. And they also sell over there, another way to do this is with a popcorn popper that's called a Whirly Pop. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a little handle that you can turn at the end of a pot. It's like you have a pot handle, and then out of that handle is a little crank that turn, and that spins the coffee around in the bottom of the pot, and that keeps it agitated. And you do that for a while until it gets nice and smoky and stinky, and you'll kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah. And if some listeners want to try roasting their own, they want to get started doing this, do you have any recommendations of some resources? I know that I posted on the Your Homegrown Food Show Facebook page a couple of links to Sweet Maria's, the website. Sounds like that's probably a good place for people to look for information.
I think for the West Coast, they were one of the guys that really pushed it, that really were trying to get people to roast their own coffee. And there's a lot of resources there. There's a lot of people with home brewed equipment. Great photographs, lots of people trying to talk, and other links to other people that are very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And there's a community there.
So that's a good place to start.
Yeah. And then one of those links is also describes a lot of the colors of roasting coffee and things to look for while you're roasting it. Because we could talk about that on the air. This can go on for a long time. There's a lot of details. But ultimately, it's pretty simple. You just throw that coffee in that air roaster and let it roast until it gets nice and smoky. You'll hear it crack a little bit, like popcorn. Uh-huh. And after that first crack, that's a very light roast coffee, and you could stop right there, and it'll be very nice. And if you like a really dark roast, let it go to second. It'll crack again. You may hear it, may or may not hear it. Just let it get nice and dark and smoky. You might want to do it in the kitchen. Make very dusty, very messy.
So it's a good thing to do outside?
It's great to do outside, but if you have a little catch, you can catch a lot of what's called the chaff that comes off the beans.
Although I did talk to one person I know who roasts their own, and they were saying that doing it outside is not advantageous because the temperatures might be too cold outside, which might affect the roasting.
It can, sure. Yeah, depends on your agenda. If you just want some roasted coffee, it'll be fine. It'll make coffee. If you're trying to get very precise and very careful about your coffee, and you want it very, very consistent from batch to batch, the more control you have over every variable, the better.
I see. Well, we also spoke with someone who roasts it outside on their barbecue and has no problem with whatever the air temperature is outside.
And we didn't get to try any of that, unfortunately.
No, but
next time.
They really like the inconsistency of the roast.
Right.
Whereas the other person who likes to control the air temperature and all the different variables likes a very consistent roast. So
absolutely.
I suppose it's up to each individual's taste. And probably if people just go ahead and give it a try, they'll get an idea of what they like.
Yeah, exactly. You play around with it. I find myself intentionally roasting poorly. Because I like that inconsistency. I'll do it as different types of batches. Not poorly, but I'm brewing it as two different ways. One's a medium roast and one's a pretty light city roast.
I see.
And then I mix those in order to get a more dynamic cup of coffee. And it's quite tasty.
It is. I can attest to that. It's the coffee I drink every morning, and I really, really enjoy it. I feel spoiled now that I drink home roasted coffee. I highly recommend it to all of our listeners. If you want to try some really neat do-it-yourself food kind of a thing and you like coffee.
Yeah. And unless you're drinking chock full of nuts, it's cheaper. It is cheaper to roast your own coffee.
That's a good point.
If you're drinking anything, you know,
anything, nuts.
Anything organic. You know what I'm talking about. In a can. It gives
the
you
really cheap stuff is what he means.
And it might be in a bag that's sealed. Although can seals their bags too, but they're actually a very fine source of coffee, can.
They Community don't sell Agroecology green. Network. Yeah, they sell. They do sell good coffee, but it's not. It's already roasted.
I think Verve will sell green beans. So actually, if you are over on the more of the east side of town, 41st area, I think Verve, if you talk into the owner, that he might be able to sell you some greens. It'll be a blend. It'll be their personal blend, and you have to kind of work with it a little bit.
Uh-huh. So if you don't want to travel over to River Street and buy green beans there, Sweet Maria's does sell...
Online, for everyone else listening
green beans
online, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for anybody throughout the country. Sweet Maria's sounds like a really good resource. For buying green beans.
Excellent resource. Lots of information.
With home roasting. Cool.
Very easy.
Very exciting.
Just stick it on an oven and go for it. You can't go wrong.
Great. Who knew? Roasting your own coffee was so simple. I guess I never thought about it until I saw you roasting and realized how simple it was. So, yeah, it sounds like a great thing for people to try if you like coffee. So thank you so much for coming in and telling us about roasting coffee.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a real good, I had a great time.
Great. And hopefully we'll have you on the show again to talk about other aspects of coffee, because I know you enjoy making coffee as well, not just roasting it.
I look forward to it. That'd be great.
Cool.
Thanks.
Talk to you next time.
Have a great afternoon, Wonderfox.
You too.
Bye.
So, another thing I would like to talk about in the do-it-yourself food sort of realm is something called the Arc of Taste, which is a catalog developed by Slow Food USA. One of the most do-it-yourself activities involving food is growing your own. So, Slow Food USA developed the USA Arc of Taste catalog, which can be used by people who are growing their own food. The US Arc of Taste is a catalog of over 200 delicious foods in danger of extinction. By promoting and eating Arc products, we help ensure they remain in production and on our plates. This information is coming from slowfoodusa.org, and there's a link to it on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show on Facebook. Describing and promoting forgotten flavors, the ARC is an international catalog of foods that are threatened by industrial standardization, the regulations of large-scale distribution, and environmental damage. In an effort to cultivate consumer demand key to agricultural conservation, only the best-tasting endangered foods make it onto the ARC. Since 1996, more than 800 products from over 50 countries have been added to the International Arc of Taste. The U.S. Arc of Taste profiles over 200 rare regional foods and is a tool that helps farmers, ranchers, fishers, chefs, retail grocers, educators, and consumers celebrate our country's diverse biological, cultural, and culinary heritage. To nominate a product to the Arc of Taste, to qualify for the U.S. Arc of Taste, food products must be outstanding in terms of taste, as defined in the context of local traditions and uses, at risk, biologically or as a culinary tradition, sustainably produced, culturally or historically linked to a specific region, locally, ethnically, or traditional production practice, produced in limited quantities by farmers or small-scale processing companies. So, on their website, they say, get involved and learn more. Many foods fall out of favor because they do not fit into our industrial food production system. Although the foods may still be produced on a small scale, their flavors, fragrances, and textures slip into obscurity. Through action, we can help preserve these foods, and they say, grow heirloom fruits and vegetables in your garden. And I say that's a great do-it-yourself thing to do. If you like to grow your own food, then definitely check out this Arc of Taste list. And they have it on their website. They have a link to this list, and it's broken down by region. And some of the things that they have on their list from our region, California, are a lot of fruits, a bunch of apples, some avocados, olives, peaches, plums, a bunch of plums, the American rabbit, Nevada single leaf pinion, so that's pine nuts, and we have some beans. We have Petaluma Gold Rush beans and Santa Maria Pequintos bean, and some grapes. We have Charbono grape of California and Napa Game Valdiki grape of California. So if you'd like more information about this list, you can go to slowfoodusa.org. And I also have a link to this website on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. And I definitely recommend checking it out. And if you can, grow some of these foods in your garden. I think that's a really, really neat idea. If you like to grow food, if you have a garden and are interested in this, check it out and grow some stuff. It sounds like a really neat thing to do. And what else do I have to say? I guess we're coming to the end of the show. So if you have any questions for me, or if you would like to talk about any of the stuff I present on the show, or you'd like to get involved in any way, you can go to my Facebook page, which is Your Homegrown Food Show, as I mentioned. You can leave me a message there, or you can send me an email at yourhomegrownfood@gmail.com. Or you can check out my website as well, which is yourhomegrownfood.com. Or another thing you can do is try calling into the radio station when I'm on the air, 427-3772. And you can ask any questions you might have or give some suggestions if you have an idea for a song about food, or if you have some DIY food things you like to do, let me know about those. Get involved in the conversation, and I highly recommend cooking at home and doing things for yourself in terms of food. It's a great thing to do. I also recommend gardening. Yay, gardening. Grow your food at home. Nothing better than some homegrown food. How about some of those homegrown apples? Tomatoes. I can't recommend growing tomatoes enough. Great thing to do. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Wander Fox, and thank you to my first guest since I started this show, the host of The Arduct Show. Thanks for coming in and talking to us about roasting coffee. And I will talk to you all next week. So tune in to Your Homegrown Food every Wednesday at 11:30 until 12. So happy fooding and happy gardening, and see you next week. Oh, technical difficulties, aren't they wonderful? We love free radio. If you feel so inclined, the radio station can use your donations. So go to the website freakradio.org to find out more about how you can contribute to our wonderful radio station. Thanks for tuning in.
Coconut, mango, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, tangerine, babadine, banana, guava, pineapple, sour, sap, and kiwi, peanut, raisin, prunes, and dates, all kind of flavors for you now to taste.
ice cream, you scream, everybody screaming, ice cream.